Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
Pros know there's more to a roof than shingles. That's why the Home Depot carries GAF's Lifetime Roofing System. From underlayment and leak barriers to shingles, ventilation, and more. Delivered right to your job site in job lot quantities. For complete roofing systems, get everything you need under one roof. Ours. The Lifetime Roofing System. Exclusively from GAF. And available at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Switch to Sprint Unlimited Basic, featuring TV from Hulu and 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot. Plus, for a limited time, get 5 lines for only $120 per month. Hurry to a Sprint store or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
Offer ends 8/16/18. After 1/31/2020, pay $32 per month per line for 5 lines without a pay. One Hulu limited commercials plan for eligible Sprint account. MHS reduced to 3G speeds after 500 megabytes per month. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Requires new lines. Subject to credit and 3-day activation fee. Video streams up to 480p. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.
Walgreens has you covered with the trusted summer essentials you need, no matter where you go this summer. Whether you're swimming in the pool, hiking in the woods, or playing at the beach, Walgreens has sun protection, bug spray, healthy snacks, and more at a great value. So before you go out there, come in here and prepare for summer care no matter where. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with card, buy one, get one free on hundreds of vitamins through August 25th. Equal or lesser value. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
From a development standpoint, we felt like this was in the best interest of Michael to put him in the ideal position to reach that ceiling of his. Each individual player will be similarly judged based upon what is best for them as an individual.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Rick Hahn, the Vice President, General Manager of the White Sox. Happy Kopech Day, Rick. How are you?
Morning, Rick.
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, and it is an exciting day. It's great to see Michael Kopech making his debut tonight at the Guaranteed Rate Field, And just curious, I was talking to David. I was breaking down his number of innings and how many you project for him this year. And as I was adding it all up, it seemed to maybe 6 or 7 starts. And I look at you guys with 38 games left and 6 or 7 starts for him. Was this a target date all along? Was this part of the plan, Rick? Did you obviously you wanted him to do a certain number of things, but seems like you can now slot him in. You can get him for a number of starts, and then maybe next year you're talking about 200 innings with him.
This wasn't specifically a target date. We weren't thinking all along, hey, sometime in mid or late August would be the ideal time for him to answer all the questions we had for him from a developmental standpoint down at Charlotte. But from a broader picture standpoint, going back to last year and heading into last offseason when Michael finished at AAA, the thought always was, ideally, along his age 22 season, he'll be able to make his major league debut, and as you alluded to, will be able to build off that innings base that he established last year at about 134, 135 innings, and put him in a good position to springboard to a much higher number come 2019. So the broad hope was that at some point this year he was going to be able to make his major league debut. Honestly, at age 22, if for whatever reason it didn't work out this year and he just had a decent season at AAA with some signs of progress, that would have been fine from a developmental standpoint, but ideally we wanted him to force us into the point where it was time to take that next step, and that would allow us to build off that innings base heading into the 2019 season.
Rick, it's an exciting day. It's going to be an electric night. You hope that Rick Renteria can experience that. He was hospitalized overnight in Minneapolis. What can you tell us about his health this morning, and how have you been able to communicate with your manager?
We were just texting a few minutes ago from his hospital room up in Minneapolis, and he's insisting he is fine. He's insisting he's ready to come home. He's insisting he'll be here tonight, and he's just waiting for the docs to agree with him on that. So hopefully that comes soon. He was feeling lightheaded last night and received some medical attention, which led to him being taken to the hospital just to rule out something significant, and ultimately they decided they wanted to err on the side of caution and keep him overnight. So hopefully the manager is right, and he'll be released sometime soon and can head back to Chicago today. But at this time, it's just him, not the docs, insisting everything is great and he's ready to go.
We were discussing what we expect to see from Michael Kopech, and everybody trying to put how many innings he'll end up going, how many pitches he'll throw, how fast his fastball will be. What are your expectations, Rick? What do you want to see from this kid in his debut?
You know, realistically, we're trying to keep some perspective on this. Obviously, any kid making his major league debut, regardless of the hype that surrounds him, has a bit of adrenaline and some butterflies going. When you compound that with the amount of anticipation around a player like this and this player's ability to reach back and hit triple digits, you need to hope that he's able to maintain his composure and some perspective and be able to compete the way he has over the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 starts down in Charlotte. He's a different pitcher right now than what we saw earlier in the season or what many Sox fans saw in Glendale. His fastball command has improved dramatically. His secondary offerings have taken a step forward, and he's just, from a mechanical standpoint, in a much sounder place. Now, when you're combating a major league debut and some adrenaline, it's a bit of a tall order to ask for that same consistency that he was showing at AAA to come through, but that's our hope. Don't really have any sort of innings expectation or strikeout total or velo reading or any of that. Just want to continue to see the consistency that he's shown over the last couple of months down there in Charlotte.
You know, what you describe, Rick, you use words perspective and composure, and you look at what he's done the second half of this season. We're sort of taking we talked about a less is more approach and maybe taking a few miles per hour off the fastball and focused on repeating that delivery with his mechanics. All of that's part of the maturation of a young pitcher. And is that what we're talking about here? Because, you know, Michael Kopech has been through a lot. He's done a lot of his life publicly, his social media and otherwise, but he's been through some grief this summer. He's been through a lot of scrutiny this summer. How much have you seen him grow up this summer?
No, you just hit the nail on the head, David. He's got obviously a world of talent and is extremely gifted. And a lot of what has happened over the course of the last several months at Charlotte has been harnessing all that, harnessing not just the talent, but the emotion that comes with his makeup and his competitiveness, and frankly comes from, is a bit of a byproduct of his high profile. He's done a marvelous job. Steve McCaddy and Mark Rezalonik, our pitching coach and manager down in Charlotte, have done a marvelous job as well in sort of getting that perspective and reining in that talent. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, early in the season, he probably could have survived, especially if you were going to put him in the bullpen in a shorter role by just coming up here and blowing fastballs as much as he could by guys. But now he's developed into much more of a pitcher. He's developed into a much more well-rounded talent and is getting the most out of his gifts, as well as his makeup and the advancements in his composure have gone a long way to making that happen. Again, I can't say enough about the progress this kid has made over the last several months. And again, what happens over the next 5 or 6 or 7 starts, however it winds up being in Chicago, isn't going to change that level of optimism, because now we've seen it. We know it's in there. And now it's just a matter of learning how to translate that to the big league level.
Rick, I think we all understood that not every prospect was going to be a surefire major leaguer or anything like that. But when we look at this kid coming up, how important is he to the rebuild, especially in the context of kind of Moncada struggling, Carson Fulmer struggling earlier, injuries to guys like Jake Berger and Mike Rodolfo and Dane Dunning, and, you know, we could go up and down the line of all the guys that have had a little bit of a setback and have been dealing with it. Alec Hansen, we mentioned Louis Robert earlier. Where is this kid in terms of just feeling good moving forward about the rebuild and where you guys are heading in the next year or two?
I think overall we do feel very good about where things are headed. Certainly you alluded to some setbacks we had along the way, which speaks to part of our mission to gather as much premium talent as possible, knowing that there are going to be some backward steps along the way. Of the players you've mentioned, really only Jake Berger is the one that unfortunately missed a full year, or even now a year plus of his development time, which is a shame for a great kid, but one that we still believe in long term. The rest still remain on track, although perhaps in some cases on a slightly slower track, towards being part of a championship club one day. Michael is important in that he's part of that. However, he is just one guy. Now, he's one guy who you can reasonably project to play an important role on a championship club, so you want to continue to see that progress with him. However, at the end, even if he comes up here and dominates from day one, which is a rarity, he's still just one piece of the puzzle. So I think it's important not to put too much, certainly on what happens the next 6 weeks in his rookie year at age 22, but it's not part of this whole plan all along was that it was never going to be just one guy carrying the water. We want to have enough depth and versatility, both from a pitching standpoint and on the field, that it never falls on one guy, that we're never susceptible if we get an injury or underperformance in one season in one or even a couple of guys, that it's going to derail our long-term plan. So he's an important guy, and is the short answer, but he's still just one guy in the end.
Along the same lines, Rick, it's only one guy, but Aloy Jimenez generates a lot of attention, and there's some obligatory curiosity. Now, when you call up a guy like Kopech, there's going to be the next question is obvious, like, okay, what about the guy who's tearing up AAA pitching the way he tore up AA pitching, the way he's torn up everything in the minor leagues? How is it different evaluating and projecting a position player when you're making a decision like this and you might with a pitcher?
It's a very fair question. So not only in the terms of the curiosity with Aloy, but also, as you point out, the nuances between developing a pitcher and a position player. First, all these guys are going to be evaluated as individuals. We're going to make the ultimate decision on each of these guys about what's best to put them in the best position for long-term success and to reach their considerable ceilings. Again, specifically to Michael, having finished the year at AAA last year and wanting to build off that innings base this year headed into 19, it was made the most sense if he met us halfway and did what he was capable of doing at Charlotte that he was going to get that opportunity at the big league level. That's why he's here. Everyone else is going to be judged based upon their own fact pattern or their own performance and their own health and their own history, as well as how we project them going forward. With a pitcher, generically, you do like the idea of getting them that taste, of seeing how their stuff plays against big league hitters so that they can perhaps head into the offseason knowing what adjustments they might need to make and they can work productively heading over that offseason. There's also that element of the innings base and wanting to, as you try to build front-end starters and guys that you project to throw 200 innings on an annual basis, you want to be cognizant of how many innings they have under their belt and how the best way to progress them up to being that type of guy. In Michael's case, his career high in innings is about 135. We didn't want to jump into the 2019 season expecting him to jump from the 135, 140 level, which is where he would have been had he just finished the year in Charlotte and not gotten a promotion, and then say, okay, kid, in 2019, let's see if you can handle not only the big leagues for the first time, but also a rather considerable innings jump. So both in Michael's specific case and in general of pitchers, it's a little bit of a different calculus than when you're dealing with a position player.
He's Rick Hahn. You're listening to Mullion Hall on the Score. And Rick, as I think about this kid coming over from the Red Sox and Don Cooper, who's been there forever, does Coop have to kind of change what he does with a young player? Does a young player have to change what he does with Coop? How do you shift from a guy in a different system, learning a different way, to the way that you like to teach it, the way Coop likes to teach it?
Now, keep in mind, Coop, before he was the big league coach forever, was the minor league pitching coordinator forever. So he played an integral role back when Kenny was farm director. working with him, dealing with the development of young arms. And part of that job is it may not necessarily be guys from other organizations, but it's guys that you draft and indoctrinate into the minor league teachings and the big league pitching program. So there's a long history of dealing with guys with different backgrounds and different pitching philosophies and different stuff that ultimately led to them either being drafted or acquired via trade. So that part's sort of old hat. Ultimately, somewhat generally, initially you let a guy come in and show you what got them drafted or what got them noticed by a scout that ultimately led to a trade before you start tinkering. Our scouts are really, really good in terms of understanding what types of things that we feel we can get better from a mechanical standpoint and what types of things we should stay away from. So in general, the guys that come in fit somewhat of a mold. And then over a period of time, after they show you what they're capable of doing it their way, the coaches do tend to jump in and offer, you know, little tweaks or improvements to help maximize that stuff where needed. So with Michael, again, he showed up on campus with a world of talent, God-given stuff that you cannot teach. And ultimately, you know, Coop and Kurt Champion, our current minor league pitching coordinator, and Steve McCaddy at AAA got together and came up with a plan in terms of how to develop him as a more well-rounded pitcher. And over the last several months at Charlotte, since the All-Star break down there, we've seen it come to fruition.
Rick, MLB Network did a really nice job with the Danny Farquhar story yesterday, and I think a lot of people still remember everything he's been through since collapsing and the brain aneurysm on April 20th. I spent a day with him last month in California, and I think everybody certainly is pulling for this guy. How closely are you monitoring that situation, and what is realistic to expect? Because this is such a long road back, but he is so determined, and I just, you like to say you wouldn't rule him out, you can't rule anything out, because he's got such charisma.
That's exactly it. Yeah, frankly, right when this occurred, the hours after this occurred, and the next morning, and hearing the updates from the doctors over at the hospital, the situation was fairly dire. And the fact that we're even talking now about what's next in his baseball career is actually really stunning when you compare that to where we were in the few hours after the aneurysm actually occurred. So, as you said, I'm not ruling anything out with this kid. He is an absolute fighter, is going to work his tail off to get back to wherever he's capable of getting back to. And it's really just amazing story and a testament to him and the docs over at Rush for the fact that we're even considering this. I mean, I'm actually standing right now in my home in the same room where I was talking to the docs that next morning. And again, based on what they were saying that day, it's fairly chilling, those memories, and just thrilled the fact that now we're talking about something as silly as baseball as opposed to a life or death situation.
Rick, any idea with Kopech tonight if there'll be a big crowd? I know there are a lot of ticket sales, 4,000 people supposedly have bought tickets. Any feel for how full the ballpark could be tonight?
You know, I really have no idea. Frankly, it's not that important in the end to me. It's about getting this kid off on the right foot and continuing to build on his success. I don't think, you know, given that we've given people 48 hours notice and it's a Tuesday night and a work night and some kids are already back in school, I don't think it's fair to put too much into whether we get, you know, 35,000 or 15,000 tonight, because it's a lot to ask of people to adjust their plans this close to an outing. But everything I've heard, the fan support's been tremendous, not just about tonight, but about this entire process. And ultimately, I think we all know that what we're shooting for is not necessarily attendance on Tuesday night in August. It's attendance in the postseason. And once we're in a position to open up the gates come October, we know the fan support will once again be overwhelming.
Thanks a ton, Rick. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rick.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Gad.
Good luck tonight. Should be a lot of fun. We'll do some transition next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Buying a home should be one of life's best experiences, but today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments. and that can turn a great experience into an anxious one. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. It's called the Power Buying Process. We check your income, assets, and credit to provide you with a verified approval, which can give you the strength of a cash buyer. Once verified, you qualify for our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days while you find your new home.